Father, we thank you as always. The entrance of your word gives light. Let that light shine our hearts this morning. Bring revelation, knowledge, understanding, and let it bring the glory of God and the face of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord into our lives. We give you, Lord, the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, we've been on this Emerge series, and today we're going to be talking about the glory and the beauty of the Lord. And today's lesson is Arise and Shine, and the glory and the beauty of the Lord. Well, let me try, first of all, to define glory. you know, when it comes to, when you're thinking of it in terms of the Lord, it's impossible to define it. People will talk about, you know, glory in many ways. It's many things that people consider to be glory. So I will bring this lesson today partly as a teaching and partly as a some part of it may be preaching and some declaration, you know. So I think I'm sure that we will enjoy it. Praise the Lord. So a glory is some kind of a high honor, you know, that people may get. There's many definitions for it, you know, either for notable achievements, you know. Glory can also be called, you know, these are definitions taken from the dictionary. Yeah. So it can also be called magnificence or great beauty. It's called glory. That's more like, that more aligns with the Lord, you know, magnificent or great beauty, you know, and glory. Well, you know, that's a noun. If you use it as a verb, it means to take great pride or pleasure in something, you know. So, you know, just like the Lord says that, you know, let him that glory in the Lord. We'll get to those scriptures in a minute. So glory can be used as a verb or as a noun. We're going to consider the noun version of it, you know, let's take a look at beauty. So what about beauty? Because we're talking about a glory and the beauty of the Lord. And why that is important to this our Emerge series, we're going to talk about that in just a bit. You know, so when we talked about glory, we brought in magnificence or, you know, incredible beauty. Well, what about beauty itself? You know, what is that? Well, the dictionary says it's just a combination of attributes like the shape, the color, the form, you know, that pleases the senses, that you can look at these things. So it's, you know, aesthetically pleasing to the senses. Some people say beauty is in the eye of the beholder, you know, especially the sight, you know, you can see the thing, you know, it's just, you're just taken in by the sight of it, and so on. Now, when it comes to describing the glory of God, though, I can't even find words to describe it. You know, in the English language, we have, you know, things that we call superlatives. And we often use them when you say the Lord is greater than the greatest, is higher than the highest. Yeah, I mean, because we can't really find words to measure him. So you say, well, he's greater than the greatest. Well, even that one still has a limit, you know. I mean, he's actually measureless. You know, you say, well, he's higher than the highest. Well, that's just because we can't find any words. So we say, well, whatever you think is the highest, he's even higher than that. You know, so whatever you think is the greatest is even greater than that. You know, but, you know, most of the times we're still limited by the ability for us to conceptualize that greatness. You know, and I love this, you know, in my Yoruba language, there's a song that says, he's the king of glory. You know, he's the king that redefines glory. You know, goes like this. Oba to gbe ogo. You know, now, some of you will be lost when I'm saying that. But so he redefines, he carries glory from glory to glory, you know, carries the glory from glory. I mean, he emanates glory. He oozes, you know, I mean, glory oozes the very essence of God. His glory. Hallelujah. So, you know, that's the glory of God. And through many scriptures, of which I will share some with you today, tries to capture the glory of God, the way they saw it. And the writer will put it in their own words, you know, that, well, that was the glory of God, because you know, they couldn't figure out what else they call it. You know, they just call it that way. You know, it's the glory of God. And there are many scriptures that we can share, and I will share a few this morning. But let me start by calling him the King of Glory. Yeah, that's right. You know, the song, I played a little bit of a Yoruba song at the beginning, and it says, Oba Ogo. You know, that means the King of Glory. So let's talk about the King of Glory for just a minute. You know, in the book of Psalms 24, you know, he calls out the King of Glory. And he asks us a question about it, actually, to ask us, who might this King of Glory be? Well, let's read it together. Psalm 24 is a famous psalm that a lot of people read. But let's take a peek at it in terms of the glory of God. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors. And the King, now that's capital K, of glory shall come in. Well, so he's going to now ask a question. Who is this King of Glory, by the way? I mean, who is it? And he's going to answer it himself. The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. And he's going to say it again. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in. Now, for the King of Glory to come in, something dramatic happens. And it's like, you know, I mean, you know, even for, you know, some famous person or something coming, like some fanfare, sometimes they put out a red carpet, sometimes they do all of these fanfare and so forth. But the King of Glory says, even the everlasting gates, let them, I mean, doors, whatever they are, let them open up so that his beauty can shine through. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of Glory, Selah. You know, I have seen this many times because we live in a state or city that is very sunny. Actually, we get sun almost every day of the year here in Phoenix, Arizona. And when the sun is shining bright outside and you are in the room and the drapes are drawn, the blinds, the curtains or whatever, you can't really see the glory of the sun. But when you pull those drapes back, and sometimes you see the rays of the sun shining into that room, and it's kind of like, my goodness, sometimes you can see there might even be some colors. You know, it depends on how he, you know, those rays hit the air. There might be some colors in there. You can, sometimes you see some little red, some little blue, and then you just see some things like that. And it's really something to behold. But then you see something else as well. Something else that you see is, all of a sudden, you also notice all the dust that's flying around. Now, most of the time, you don't see that dust until the rays of the sun shine through like that. Then you see all the dust, and it's as if the rays didn't bring the dust. The rays of the sun only exposed the dust. I was there. The dust particles were there the whole time, but you really couldn't see them, you know, until, you know, you open that, the red sun's shining in. I'm sure some of you have seen that. And then, yeah, you can see, you know, these particles flying around. They're really dust. Now, that's a contrast from the glory of the sun to the things that we don't like dust, you know. And that's what the glory of the Lord actually does sometimes, is reveals the dust, you know. And it's just, the contrast is just so incredible. Isaiah put it best in Isaiah chapter 6. He said, the glory of the Lord, filled the temple. He saw this. He experienced this. He said, in the day that King Uzziah, the year that he died, you know, he experienced something. And, you know, some of these old prophets, they used to try to put a time to when they had that experience, because that experience wasn't daily for them. It was occasionally, but sometimes very significant. And they would, you know, kind of just try to put a time to it. And he said, I saw the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And began to describe the things he saw. And then he saw all these seraphims, you know, coming and going, and then crying and saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. You know, and they had no way else to describe him other than talk about his glory. The whole earth, they said, is full of his glory. And then everything was moving and shaking, and the place was filled with smoke and so forth. But what did it do to Isaiah? He began to see the dust in his own life. He said, oh my goodness, I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. I'm finished, because my eyes have seen the King. Woo-hoo! The Lord of hosts. And that's what the glory of God will do sometimes. It'll just make you feel like nothing. That's right. Because everything else pales, you know, in comparison with the glory of God. Even the sun ashamed at the glory of God. Well, actually, all that the sun is doing is reflecting a little bit of the glory of God. And then the moon reflects a little bit of the glory of the sun, you know. So, and then where do we stand in all of that equation? How do we get the glory of God upon us? Well, here's something that the scripture reveals. And if you're just reading the book of Genesis by itself, you may not have understood that what they lost, Adam and Eve, that is, was the glory of God, until you read it in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. And it says, well, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So there was a glory upon them. And when the sin, the disobedience entered in, they lost the glory. And it was like a covering was removed. And all of a sudden, they saw their nakedness. Now, in the time of Adam versus today, that's a big difference. And I want to point this out. When Adam had the glory of God, he couldn't see the dirt. You know, he could not see his own nakedness. All he saw was the glory of God. Now that's the way that the glory of God was intended. Sin is what corrupted us to not be able to handle the glory of God. You know, in the original state, Adam never knew he was naked. You know, they were covered by the glory of God. He never thought of, oh, I'm a man that's undone. I'm a man that's on clean lips. I'm a man that is this and that. He never thought of all of that. In fact, he thought of himself as the son of God. And the Bible calls him the son of God. In Luke chapter 3 and verse 38, Adam was the son of God. That chapter gives us the reverse genealogy of Jesus Christ. And when it come down to Adam, he said, Adam, who was the son of God? He actually thought of himself as the son of God. And the Lord will come to him and say, okay, hey, Adam, what's going on? What are you going to call this one? And I say, well, I'll call it this. He didn't even have to think. He didn't have to learn anything. He knew everything instantly because he had the glory of God. He had, you know, it's called the breath of the very essence of God. In Genesis 2 and 7, God breathed into the man a complete package. And he had the glory of God. And the glory of God, he did not see himself as naked. He did not see any dirt. As a matter of fact, the glory of God that was upon him put everything else in submission all around him. Because everything looked to Adam, you know, and whatever Adam said was what he did. There was no wild beasts. There were no wild plants. Everything was just calm because of the glory of God that was there. You know, and I mean, you can just imagine that the animals and everyone else, you know, everything else, nature and all of that, looking, because Adam was the centerpiece. God removed himself from the equation. Just put Adam there. Say, all right, you got this, Adam. What are you going to do? What do you want to call this? And so forth. And God said, well, but let the man have dominion. It's his thing. You know, have dominion. And he could have that dominion because he was created in the glory of God. Now, was he created in the glory of God? Why, absolutely. You're going to have to read other scriptures that will help you understand that. You know, in the book, in the first couple of, you know, chapters of the book of Romans, we see how, you know, we are told that the people, the invisible things of God, let's read it, for the invisible things of God from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood, this is Romans 1 and verse 20, by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. You know, the things that we see are the things that declare the glory of God. Like Psalm 19 says, the heavens declare the glory of God. The things that we see, you know, and unfortunately, the people turned the glory and truth of God into a lie. They started worshiping the things of their own hands, you know, and so forth. You know, and the Bible says that, look, you know, God gave them up to vile affections and all these things. You can read it, all of it in, you know, Romans chapter 1, you know, and we're also told that when we were created, you know, in the image of God, there was something powerful about that. Because that's what the Lord said at the beginning. Let us make man in our image and after our likeness, you know, and let them have dominion. So these people changed. You can read verse 23 of Romans 1. They changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man. So man was actually made in the glory of God. And that's how we were intended to be. But unfortunately, we lost it. We're still struggling, you know, till this day, get back the glory of God. But fast forward, I'm going to come back and give us some more what that glory will do, but just, you know, fast forward with me to Jesus talking about that glory. And in his prayer in John chapter 17, Jesus would pray and he would say, you know, ask the Father to, you know, grant us his disciples and, you know, the glory that he himself, Jesus, had with them, had with the Father from the beginning. And he said, look, in fact, I have committed it to them, but I want you, Lord, Father, to bring them to see my glory. You know, and he said, look, John chapter 17, verse 22, the glory which thou givest me, I have given them. Now, this was almost at the end of his journey. You know, and that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, this is the way that Jesus describes the glory. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. That's right. And what is that glory going to do in them? Well, first of all, it will make them one. And then it will make the world to know that you have sent me. Wow. The glory of God is going to do that? That's a deep, deep subject. I can't cover all of that today. But yes, that's what he said. And he said, Father, I will also that those whom you have given me will be with me where I am, and they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, because you loved me from the beginning of the world. Now, this glory, people have always been seeking after it. In fact, Moses, he sought the glory of God. Can you imagine that Moses, who saw the burning bush in Exodus chapter 3, and who saw and heard the voice of God and all the things that happened. I mean, Moses, Exodus 20, he was in the mount with God. And when he came down, his face was even shining and everything. And the rest of the people couldn't endure the voice of God. But they backed away from the glory of God. Well, Moses went in, you know, and we're told that even this same Moses, despite all his experience, he himself began to pray. And he said, Lord, show me your glory. And you can read that in Exodus 33 and verse 18. And there was something in his mind that was making him to pray to see the glory of God. I mean, you would have thought that Moses had seen the glory of God. Moses had experienced the glory of God. I mean, he'd seen all kinds of things. Even his face started to shine and everything. But Moses, you know, the experience that Moses had, which many of us are still wanting to have, was in and out. When he went in the cloud, he came out, the glory of God was shining, and then he covered his face and he go in and out, in and out, in and out. Now, but the experience that God wants us to have is kind of like what Christ had. Christ never went in and out, in and out, in and out. He said, my Father is with me always. I do always those things that are pleasing to him. John 8 and 29. It was the glory of God. Let's see how the Bible describes Christ in the book of Hebrews chapter 1. Here's how Christ is described. He said, God who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake unto the fathers by the prophets, as in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, that's Jesus Christ, whom he has appointed to be heir of all things. You know, that means he got everything. You know, you can read that in Revelation chapter 5. Nobody else could even look upon the book, let alone open the seals, you know, or read it. They couldn't do it. A book is to be read. You can't just write a book. And there's some contents of that book. Nobody could open the seals. Nobody could even look on. But this shadowy figure, he stepped out and he got the book and he opened it. And we are told that he is the appointed heir of all things. Now, that's the title deed that he got. He got the title deed to everything. And by whom also God made the worlds. Remember, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. And Christ was that word. Who being, now this is Christ, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. That's right. And upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down the right hand of the majesty on high. You know, this is what God intended for us to be. A reflection of his glory. Which is why, whereupon he said, let us make man in our image. After our likeness. Likeness is like a reflection. It's our image, you know. And let them have dominion. And this is what we lost. Now, let's talk about how did Christ get his glory? How did he do it? There's a story in Luke chapter 24. After, I'm talking about the Christ on the earth now, not the Christ that was in heaven before the world began, but the Christ that left all of that glory and came down in the form of a man and suffered many things, learned obedience by the things which he suffered, we're told, humbled himself, became obedient even unto death, even the death of the cross. All of these you can read in Philippians chapter 2 from verses 5 to 9. Wherefore God has also highly exalted him. Now this Christ, that Christ, when they put him on the cross and died, and came out of the cross and so forth, some of his disciples who hadn't heard that he was raised from the dead, I mean, they remember that Jesus was saying those things before he died, but they haven't heard or seen him. A couple of them were traveling on, you know, to somewhere called Emmaus. And suddenly Jesus joined himself with them, just came out of nowhere. And they said, and they were talking all the things that happened in Jerusalem this last weekend and so on and so forth. And Jesus asked them, said, what things? Every time I read that story, I just laugh. You know, the way he asked them, what things? What things are you guys talking about? As if he didn't know. And he said, what things? And he said, well, didn't you hear that this and that and so forth? You know, and they were telling him about the things that happened to Christ and how that Christ should have been this and been that and so on and so forth. And, you know, they were kind of disappointed a bit because they thought that Christ, you know, many of the disciples thought that, that Christ should have restored to them the kingdom to Israel and so get them out of the under the rule of Rome and so on. Restore the kingdom to Israel. And so they were a bit disappointed. And I'm talking about all these things. But when Jesus would chime in into the conversation, you know, he said, you know, oh fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Luke chapter 24 and verse 25. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and then enter into his glory? So for Christ, he was describing the road to glory as through his sufferings. And Jesus said to disciples, look, you know, no disciple is greater than his master. Can't do it. Now, when you are perfect, you'll be like your master. Luke chapter 6 and verse 40. But you cannot be greater than your master. So look, if they have done these things in a green tree, what are they going to do in a dry? If they did these things to me, they're going to do these things to you. If I had to go through these things to enter into my glory, you will have to go through these things to enter into your glory. It's just that simple. There is no shortcut around it. And Jesus even rebuked them. Don't you know that Christ had to suffer these things in order for him to enter into his glory? The road the journey to his glory was through his sufferings. He's telling them. You know, and I said, wow. So ladies and gentlemen, consider it this way. We want glory. The road to glory is through sufferings for Christ. That's right. And even some other things as well. Just like we've been talking about, you know, the emerging of that butterfly from that cocoon is through a lot of suffering and a lot of pain. But it's coming into that glory, but it's going to go through stuff before it can be extracted out of that thing. The process, very painful. The thing it was coming out of was ugly, repulsive. But at the end, something beautiful comes out of it. Now let's see how God now talks to us. Seeing that we have lost the glory of God. And how does God now talk to us? Well, it's written in the book of Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 1. And this is where our lesson, all of that was just to introduce to you what we actually lost. But, you know, here's how God pronounces it to us again. Now, there were many things you'd have to let God show it to you, all the things that Adam was able to do, you know. Because God called it dominion. He could have done anything. He could have walked on the sea. He could have gone under the sea. He could have talked to the fish. He could have done anything. I mean, just to use your imagination, he could have done anything. You know, but when it lost through disobedience, here's the way the Lord would now pronounce it to us in the book of Isaiah chapter 60. Now, this is the emerge part. Now, we've been in obscurity for too long. Now there is time for us to do this. Arise and shine. For thy light has now come. Well, if he's talking about light, then that means we were in darkness before. The glory of God is now risen upon you. Well, something we lost. It's upon us now. It's a prophetic. You know, and he said, gross darkness. Say, behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness shall cover the people of the earth. But for you, the Lord shall arise upon you, and his glory shall be seen upon you. This is it. And all the Gentiles, now this is, you know, unbelievers, whatever. They shall come to thy light. Now there is something that associates the glory of God with light. As the lack of it is darkness. Now, the Gentiles shall come to thy light. The kings to the brightness of thy rising. Now, rising out of obscurity. Something is going to happen now. It's not going to be in hiding. We've been in hiding for too long. Now, it's like you're going to be exposed, but in a good way. Something good is coming out of that cocoon. Glory to God. Now, in the book of this same Isaiah. Now, Isaiah was a man that loved, you know, the word of God. And he prophesied many things. You know, prophesied many things. Now, here's one of the things that he prophesied in Isaiah 58. He said, thy light, you know, will break forth as the morning. This is Isaiah 58 and verse 8. Your light will break forth as the morning. Your righteousness will go before you. And the glory of the Lord cover you even from the behind. Everything. He said even that, you know, your light will rise in obscurity. That's in verse 10. And thy darkness will be as the noonday. If your darkness is as the noonday, then what will be your light as? you know, it will be as the shining of the sun. And he said all these things, and it's just amazing, you know, what the Lord says about what the glory of God comes upon you, what you will become. Now, here's how John put it in 1 John chapter 3. He called it, well, you know, something that's work in progress. It's really what the way he put it. 1 John chapter 3, he said, beloved, now, you know, are we the sons of God? But it does not quite yet appear. This is 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. But we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. Now, if you have this hope in yourself, though, he said, then, you know, we need to purify ourselves even as he is pure. At the end, the Bible predicts and prophesies this thing, the glory of God. In the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2 and verse 14, this is coming back. You know, the seraphims, they said, well, the earth is full of the glory of God. They were in a realm where what they saw was the glory of God. Quite at that time, it wasn't all glory. There was already evil everywhere. But the glory of God is returning. The earth, Habakkuk 2 and 14, shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. My goodness. As the waters cover the sea. It's not only the glory of God, but even the knowledge of it. There is something about understanding the glory of God that causes a transformation. Causes a transformation. Praise the Lord. Now, so there is a transformation that happens when the glory of God comes back upon a person that had lost it. And he says, you know, let them arise and let them shine. What about his beauty? Well, let's talk about that as well. Since we're talking about you arising and shining in the glory and beauty of the Lord. Well, you know, we understand that God himself, hallelujah, the Bible calls him, and this is why I say that, you know, you really can't describe glory when it comes to God. It's just, we do the best we can, you know. But in the book of Psalm 50 and verse 2, we're told that God is the perfection of beauty. That's right. Out of Zion, God, the perfection of beauty, has shined. Well, our God shall come. You know, this shining. Now, there is a new Zion, and you can read that in the book of Hebrews chapter 12. There was a physical Zion, the city of Zion. You know, David actually captured it way long time ago. And there's a physical Zion, which usually represents, you know, Israel and so on. But there is a spiritual Zion, which is where we are now, you know. Now, this spiritual Zion, which is talked about in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 22, we are part of that. And we are being told here in Psalm 50 and verse 2 that God is going to shine out of Zion. It's prophetic. When you put that all together, what you see is that when the glory of God comes upon you, it begins to bring a transformation. Now, David understood that, so he put it in a prayer. And the prayer is written here in Psalm 90, verses 16 and 17. He kind of put it in a prayer. And we are going to put it, I'm going to put it in a prayer and kind of more like a declaration, which is a little bit stronger for us today. You know, here's how he said it in Psalm 90, verse 16. Let thy work, O Lord, appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children, and let the beauty. Now, remember the word let. I've talked about that a few times. Let means cause it to happen or cause it to, you know, come about. So let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. That's right. Now, his glory and his beauty is what causes the work of your hands to be established. Mm-hmm. Establish thou the work of our hands. But first, the beauty of our God be upon us. Now, it is time for us to shine. Now, the glory of God is light. Hallelujah. The glory of God is light. And without it, we are really in darkness. 1 John chapter 1 verse 5 tells us that, look, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And this light, it describes it, he said in John, the Gospel of John chapter 1, he said that Christ was that light. He said, look, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. John chapter 1, you know, let me even read it from verse 1. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, capital W, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. Now Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. John 14 and 6. No man can come unto the Father except by me. But that life was the light of men. Without it, people are in darkness. You see, when the light shines in darkness, darkness cannot overcome it. Hallelujah. Now, this light, John gave witness to that light. He said, look, and that's John the Baptist, gave witness to that light. And he said, John the gospel writer here is talking about John the Baptist, saying that John the Baptist was not that light, but that he was sent to bear witness of that light. Now, the light, though, here's how he describes it in verse 9 of John chapter 1. The Christ was that true light which lighteneth every man that comes into the world. Now, we come in darkness, but Christ is what lightens you. Hallelujah. You know, so now he was in the world. The world was made by him, and yet the world knew it not. You know, and so forth. You know, but this word was made flesh, and he dwelt among us. Verse 14. And we beheld his glory. Now, if you haven't seen his glory, we're going to see it. Some of them saw it, you know, but we are yet to see it. But not only do we see it, it's going to be upon us, and the world is going to see it. Glory to God. Arise and shine in the glory and beauty of the Lord, and let the Gentiles come to thy light, and all the kings to thy rising. You know, you see it. You're coming out of obscurity. Now, fast forward to the book of Revelation. You know, we talked about a couple of months ago, I think we did, you know, the Heaven and Earth series, or maybe a month or so ago. And, you know, we covered, you know, that, you know, beautiful place that is coming, you know, at the end. You know, it talks about, you know, that city, you know, because he said, I saw no temple there, for the Lord God and the Lamb are the temple of it. Now, that's Revelation 21, you know, and verse 22. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof. Now, so the glory of God is light. and that light shine out of obscurity. Now, when God now says it is time for you to arise and to shine, something is going to happen. It's a transformation process. You know, it's coming upon you. Now, we already have Christ in us, but something is still obscuring us shining like the real glory of God. But it's coming. And here is what God wants us to do. He wants you to understand it. He said the knowledge of the glory of God shall cover the earth. Now, when you understand it, he actually calls, he said, God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, you know, has shined in our hearts, you know, shined in our hearts, and he's doing something. He's bringing forth the excellency of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now, we have this treasure right now in earthen vessels, but it is coming out and God is going to make something appear. And he put it in earthen vessels so that the glory will be of himself. You know, that's what lesson the scripture tells us. Now, remember, how did God command the light to shine out of darkness? Well, go back to Genesis and see how he did it. All he did it, how he did it was by his voice. He used the word of God, his word and his voice. But, and he said, let there be. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, this is how he reports it. Paul was reporting it by the Spirit. He said, for God, in verse 6, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge. See, again, it's the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So this knowledge is important. And in the next few lessons, we're going to talk about the knowledge of the glory of God. Today, I'm introducing the fact that the Lord is commanding us to arise and shine because he's saying the glory of God has come. Our light has come because the glory of God is upon us now. That's the knowledge of the glory of God comes in the face of Jesus Christ. We're going to be explaining that. And the Lord will have me say to us today, you know, that it is time for us to arise and shine. It is time for us to arise and shine. Let me say that again. It is time for us to arise and shine. Now, the Lord said to the children of Israel, ye have dwelt long enough in this place. You know, it is time for you to move to something greater. In the book of Deuteronomy chapter 1, and the Lord began to speak to them. You can read it in verse 6. He said, look, it's time. I mean, you've been in this one position long enough, you know, and it is time for you to do something. Something different must now happen. How did he put it? Well, you dwelt long enough in this mount. Deuteronomy 1 verse 6. It is time for you now to go forward. Well, let me put it to us this way. We have been stagnated long enough. You have been stagnated for too long. It is now time for you to arise and shine. It's time for the beauty of the Lord to shine through us. We've been talking about many lessons that will help us to get there. How we should focus on the nature and attributes of God. You know, and learning all of that. But the goal and the target is for us to emanate the glory of God. Just like Christ did. And Christ already prophesied it. He said, I've given them that glory. I gave it to them. You know, it's not something that we can take. It's something that God gives to us. Because, you know, it's a paradigm shift from where the Lord way long time ago said, my glory will I not give to another. You know, neither will I share, you know, my praise with graven images. In Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 8. I am the Lord, and that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another. Neither will I share my praise with glowing images. Well, that was then, but this is now. Now, Jesus said, the glory that you gave me, I have given them. So there's a big gap between Isaiah 42 and verse 8 to the prayer that Jesus was praying here in John chapter 17. And the bridge to that gap was Christ. Whereas we lost that glory, Christ is saying, I've returned that glory. But he's also saying, look, I went through some stuff to get to the glory. And you will go through some stuff to get. And we have been going through some stuff. A lot of stuff. So, you know, the children of Israel went through a lot of stuff. Finally, God had to say, look, it is enough. Let my people go. Yeah, so it is enough. You have dwelt in this mount long enough. You have dwelt in this stagnation long enough. You have dwelt in this one place long enough. It is time for you to arise. And it's time for the glory of God to shine in you. Now, what does that glory look like? We're going to talk about it in the next couple of days or so. But today, it's a call to arise. A call to realization. You know, quite unlike when the glory of God, when the glory is revealed now, like the glory of the Son is revealed now. Remember, Jesus is the Son of Righteousness. And that glory is revealed now. All you see is dirt. Well, that's how it is now, because we lost his glory. But what God wants us to be, the place where he wants us to be, is where Adam was initially. And the glory was upon him. He never saw any dirt. In fact, never saw any nakedness. He just knew that he was the Son of God. And he had the ability to do these things. And because God put it inside of him. And he realized it. And he could do it. And he did it. You know, but he lost all of that. And God, when he drove them out of the garden, put cherubims there, and they cannot go back. And someone like Enoch might have asked Adam, what mean are those things that we see there? And Adam told the story and said, you mean we can't go back in there? No, it's over, son. We're just waiting to die. I love to tell that story. And Enoch would say things like, waiting to die? What about all that glory? What about all that power? You mean you could talk to the fish, you could go under the sea, you could do all these things, and so on. I mean, you walked, you talked with God. I mean, where is this God? Why is he not talking with us anymore? Son, I'm sorry. That era is over. We're now waiting to die. We cannot go back in there. Well, you mean you lost all of that and you're not going to fight for it? I said, son, he gave us the commandment. And we fell, and it's too late. And Enoch would say, well, we'll see about that. You know, and he decided in his heart that he's going to get that glory. One way or another, I'm going to get that glory. And he began to pursue after the Lord. It took him 300 years to figure it out. But he did figure it out. And finally, when he figured it out, You know, as you're getting towards the glory, you're getting away from the darkness. This is what we must understand. That glory is the light. The darkness is on this side of the spectrum. Darkness and death. The light and the glory of God is on this other side of the spectrum. The farther you travel towards the light, the farther you get away from the darkness and the death. And the rate of acceleration of darkness and death upon the human race was a lot faster than the rate at which the human race were progressing towards the light. Death was catching up with everybody faster than they could get towards the light. Just think of it as a spectrum. Far left is death and darkness. Far right is light and life. And in between is your journey. And you got to get from that darkness to the light. And they tried it, but they couldn't do it. You know, they went as far, some of them, hundreds of years, but they still couldn't do it. But Enoch figured it out, how to do it. And as he went, he was being transformed. We're told in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, beautiful rendition of what happens on this transformation. And when we finish this Emerge series, I've been announcing it and I'm saying it, we're going into the transformation and transfiguration series. Because that's where it all culminates. And Enoch was experiencing that, going closer and closer towards that light, being changed into the glory of God more and more. And then one day, he was changed completely into light and he was gone. You know, as you know, it's kind of like being drawn towards that light. That light's a powerful magnet too, but the forces of the gates of hell trying to prevent you from getting there. But Jesus already told us the gates of hell won't prevail, but you got to keep pressing in. Gates of hell will keep trying. Make sure you don't get there, but you got to keep pressing in. It's like you're trying to move through this powerful wind that's in your face, and the wind is coming in powers of miles per hour or whatever, and you're trying to go through the wind. The wind is pushing you back and keep pressing in, and you can't do it. You know, and enough time passes, this thing will just blow you away because it's stronger than you. Well, that's the way it's been. But there's coming something upon us now that's going to make us stronger than that force that's been pushing us backwards. Because God said it, you know. I mean, in fact, there are times that God had to say, look, I've been leaving it up to these people to do it. They can't do it by themselves, so I'm going to do it. I said, this is the covenant that I will now make with them in those days. Because I tried to let them do it. They couldn't do it. I myself will now write my laws in their hearts. I myself will now do these things. You know, well, when God now says, I'm putting the glory upon you and the light upon you, we've been trying to get there. We couldn't. But now he says, it is time. I'm going to put it upon you. And when it is time, we find out you are now able. Before it was like you take one step forward, the strong wind moves you two steps backwards. You take another step forward, the strong moves you. And you're just going, but you're not getting anywhere. Now, all of a sudden, there is a force field around you that makes you able to push through that. You're able to push through that. And all the things that are covering up that glory that is inside of you is now falling off gradually. It's like the shell is now falling off. The shell is falling off. And there's a clear passage. And there will be a quick, short walk that will just like suck you into the light. Oh my goodness. The light is come upon you. And once we are there, we're going to shine. So the wise shall shine forth like the brightness of the stars forever. We got to shine. But we got to overcome darkness. in order to do it. There's a process of overcoming that darkness. And that's what we're going to be covering in our transformation series. But for today, arise and shine. For the glory of God is risen upon you. And you have dwelt in this stagnated place long enough. And now let the beauty of the Lord our God arise upon us. Let means cause it to happen. And there's forces that are trying to prevent that beauty from shining through in you. But the scriptures say let. And so I say let. Let the glory of God now be seen upon the people of God. Let the beauty of God now come upon us, that he may establish the work of our hands. Praise God. Glory to God. There is a beautiful. Now, this journey and this struggle may not have been all beautiful, but consider the end of it. We're told that Jesus himself, he considered the end of his journey. And he suffered the contradiction of sinners and everything against himself, you know. And his eyes were on the prize, you know. He foresaw the glory that was coming, you know. So he endured the shame, all the things they did to him, spit on his face, disrespect him and everything, even though he was the creator. But, you know, he just endured all those things because he knew that something great was coming. Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3. Lest you yourself be weary and faint in your minds. Well, don't be faint now. We've gone through many things. All of the things that you've gone through, you went through all of that to be right where you are right now. The journey of the caterpillar, the cocoon, I mean, all of that, you know, get to the point of about to come forth to the multiply and the butterfly. That journey was not always a good journey. And it goes through all that stuff. And at the end, when it's hanging upside down on that branch, something comes upon it like a shell. You know, and it's got to come out of that shell. And it's a big struggle. But, you know, enough time passes, struggle long enough, kind of break forth out of that thing. When it comes out of that thing, it's nothing like what went inside that thing. You know, so we are at the point right now where all of the struggle and all that we've been experiencing bringing us to this point of the glory of God finally busting forth. My goodness. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean now we should be puffed up, arrogant, and everything? You won't even be there if that's what you think. You know, people that have truly experienced the glory of God since after Enoch, I mean, Adam and Enoch, they felt like they were nothing. Isaiah felt like they were nothing. But Jesus says, at the end, you will sit with me. I'm not going to leave you down there as nothing. I'm actually elevating you to my side. But now seated in Christ in heavenly places. And there's a process that is working out in us for us to truly shine forth with his glory. And it starts by us saying, yes, Lord. And so that's all the series that we've been working on. And even as I'm talking about this, and maybe some people hearing this or listening to this later, who can fully comprehend what this emerging into God's glory is. Maybe we're only thinking that, okay, you get promoted and maybe you get more money. Maybe that's your concept of the glory of God. Well, all of that will come, but all of those, that's not the thing. You know, the glory of God what it really means was everything that Adam had that we lost, you know, which is what God said to Abraham. I am your shield, an exceeding great reward. I'm going to give you myself. Now, when God gives us of himself and puts that glory upon us like that, we got everything. That's why Jesus said, don't worry about all those things. Just seek him first and his righteousness. When you got him, you got everything else. And all these other things, they are peripheral things and so forth like that. They will be added because you got God. You got everything. So ladies and gentlemen, as we are seeking to emerge, be sure that you set your affection on things that are above. It's a complicated teaching because sometimes people's mind just, you know, drift into all the material things only. No, that's there. And that will happen. And they will see it. Kings will come and they will see it. But, you know, it said Gentiles will come, they will see it. But that's not all of that. First, we come into his likeness, his image and his likeness. Wow. We begin to shed all that other shell, which is the darkness and so forth. Come fully into the light. And Jesus said it himself, he that cometh after me, he will no longer walk in darkness, but he shall have the light of life. Wherefore, arise and shine, for the glory of God is come upon you. I'm going to pray with two scriptures. First, Psalm 24, that talks about everlasting doors. And whatever doors, whatever is holding back the King of Glory, coming, you know, when the King of Glory comes, he comes with his glory. That's right. He doesn't go anywhere without his glory. In fact, Ezekiel, he saw it. He said the glory of God was risen from the temple. The glory of God was this, the glory of that. The first couple of chapters of Ezekiel and then chapter 10 talks about all the glory of God and the beauty that he saw. And as he saw it, he called it the glory of God. He would see like, I mean, I don't know exactly what he saw, but he tried to describe it. A fire enfolding itself, a wheel within a wheel, this and that. Yeah, he just couldn't describe it. So finally, just called it the glory of God. You know, what he saw was just a glorious thing. He said, my goodness, you know, I saw the glory of God, is what he's describing. Well, when the king comes, his entourage, his train that filled the temple, that's his glory. We are going to pray with Psalm 24, say, let the everlasting doors open. Whatever doors, let them open. Doors, Jesus said, I'm standing there, I'm knocking. Open ye the gates. Let the King of Glory come on in. That's number one prayer. Number two prayer that I'm going to pray today is eyes, you know, what God said to us to arise and shine in Isaiah 60 and verse 1, but to remember that God already said, we will arise and shine. And then say it like the psalmist is saying, let the beauty of the Lord our God now be even visible upon us. The glory of God and his beauty visible upon us. Let us pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, because now we are understanding, we're having knowledge of the glory of God. But there is a King of Glory, we are told. And who is this King of Glory? I pray today that we will open up our hearts. Is anyone in this room listening to this? Open up your heart and let the King of Glory come in. Who is this King of Glory, though? He is the Lord, mighty in battle. We call him Jesus Christ now. Let him come in. Bring his full entourage, the glory of God with him. And I pray that, you know, as it is written, he said, let the beauty of our God be seen upon us. I pray for everyone that's in this room also. Hear ye the word of the Lord. Ye have dwelt long enough in the place of stagnation. It is time now to arise and shine. Let thy work now appear, O Lord, unto thy servants. Let thy glory appear to this generation and even their children. And let the beauty of our Lord God be upon us. That's right. Let his glory and his beauty now be upon us. And establish thou the work of our hands. In the name of Jesus. Let us be agents of change. As we ourselves are transformed, let the light of God that's now shining through and out of us begin to influence others also to come into the light. Thank you, Father. And piece by piece, we're going to transform the darkness that's around us into light. First, we ourselves are transformed, and our impact around us brings another transformation. Lord, I pray that thy glory come upon us who are yearning for it. Just like Moses, show me your glory, Lord. No matter what he had already seen, he wanted more. Paul himself, he wanted more. You know, I count not the things that I've attained as anything, but I count them as dung. I want more. I keep pressing in, that I may obtain the excellency of the glory of God. I want more, Lord, more of thy glory, more of thy power. And the psalmist said, O Lord, forsake me not until I have shown thy glory to this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. Lord, may we show, may we shine forth in the glory of God. Wherefore, arise and shine. It is written, arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord is written, has come upon us. Our light has come. Others may be in darkness, but the glory of the Lord shall arise upon us. You will now arise in obscurity, we're told. Rise from obscurity in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen.